Chapter 65 Blood Magic.
"Are you sure you broke all the seals?" Ethan asked a drawn Padre Nolan.
Padre Nolan removed his hands from Jen's head and walked unsteadily toward a pitcher of wine and a goblet laid out on a small, darkly stained table.
"I believe so. It is amazing the amount of information Mikik packed away in his mind. The blood magic that Aldemar alluded to in his documents was gifted to Jen as well. It is an odd form of magic, and corrupt. But what Jen needs to know for bringing Shertan back is there. In fact, you could perform the ritual if you had time to learn it. I'm shaken, Ethan. Shaken and scared."
"What frightens you, Nolan?"
"The learning Mikik bestowed upon Jen has revealed to me more plainly than any other study I have done the dark and devious nature of our common foe. But more particularly, by having the seals broken, Jen now possesses terrible knowledge to accompany his power, spells that far eclipse anything Shertan was ever taught. I am scared to awaken this young man. If it weren't for the necessity of Shertan's revival, I would kill him now."
Ethan nodded gravely, rubbing his chin.
"Fortunately, Triss will not wax full for a few more months, and his power will be limited. The Shillane will act as our check against whatever retribution he wishes to exact upon us."
Nolan rubbed his eyes.
"He does possess strong feelings for her. But are you sure it is safe to put her and the child in her belly in the same room with him? What if there was something I missed? Some hidden command?"
"It is a risk we must take," Ethan said. "For the magic to work, the one bled must be willing, and she is the only one he will listen to. Do not fear. He prizes and honours her above all, and surely would have killed her long before now if Mikik controlled him. But I agree that he should be destroyed. If what you say is true, I cannot honour my bargain with the Shillane. Once the ceremony is done, we will rake his mind thoroughly one last time and kill him."
"That is wise," Padre Nolan agreed. "I would like to write down what I have learned while it is fresh."
He turned to leave.
"Yes, but one last question," Ethan said. "Are you sure that Milim Eri sealed Mikik's training from him?"
"I am positive."
"There were two, a male and a female, that watched over him during his youth and adolescence. They appeared directly after every one of Joran's sessions and blacked them out of his mind. With the Shillane's revelation about Aldemar still walking Kihal, it is time to rewrite some doctrine as it concerns the Milim Eri surviving the shattering."
"Indeed. You may go.
Send in the Shillane."
Padre Nolan cracked the door, revealing the Shillane pacing in the hallway outside. As soon as the door swung open, she stepped past the genuflecting Padre Nolan before he could straighten and invite her to step inside the small room. Jen lay unconscious on a small pallet, and the Shillane inspected him carefully, filling her eyes with his familiar form. She could find no injury upon him, and she tried to be as clinical and calm as she could, not wanting to show Padre Ethan how desperately excited she was. Jen breathed in and out comfortably. He wore travelling clothes, his face shaven and hair cropped neatly. The Shillane choked back tears, and noticing Ethan's watchful stare, steeled herself quickly. She cleared her throat.
"You cleaned him up?"
"Yes," Ethan confirmed, stepping forward to shut the door. "He and his companions arrived looking little better than slave beggars."
"What did you do with Volney and Gerund?"
"They are resting comfortably in a cell with their fellow Dark Guard."
"Then if you would kindly wake him and step out," the Shillane said, "I will be true to my commitment to convince him to aid us."
"I will not leave, Shillane."
"But I said—" Ethan stepped forward.
"I know what you said, Highness, and I did not agree to it. I must remain here and addle his mind sufficiently so that he cannot work his magic again, lest he conjure a way to escape and start another bloodbath in the keep. I don't expect you to like it, but those are my conditions."
"He is strong-minded, Ethan. He thinks you've tortured me these past weeks. Are you sure you want to risk it?"
She knew it a desperate argument, but she had to confess her love to him before the secrecy drove her mad. With Shertan dead, the guilt she felt over her feelings for her protector had dissolved into the winter wind. He had to know, but she would not speak of it with Ethan in the room.
"I am confident in my skill, my queen,"
Ethan pronounced expressionlessly. Please prepare your arguments well. His mind will be impaired, so keep your speech and questions simple. Remember, he must accept with an oath." Ethan stepped to a corner outside Jen's field of vision and incanted. Jen's eyes popped open. Immediately, the Shalane could discern the effects of the spell. His green eyes, that had always shone with nobility and intelligence, were dimmed and cloudy. It required several seconds for him to recognize his companion, and when he did, he smiled drunkenly, his hand flopping tentatively for hers. "Shalane," he intoned pleasantly, "did you bring the cards? I've come all this way for a game." Her tears came freely now, and she rubbed his hand and arm briskly, hoping the friction would polish some clarity into his eyes. "No cards today, Jen. Listen carefully. Do you know about Shatan?"
"Yes. Good old Jaren. Good man, that one. Happier days for you, then? I bet Dacen is pleased, eh?"
The Shalane bit her lip at his implication and tumbled on.
"Jen, the Padres say you can bring Shatan back to life."
He laughed, and when he talked, the words came slowly and a little slurred.
"Like anyone wants to. No one knows how to do that, do they?"
His eyes widened and rolled about questioningly for several long moments.
I know how to do it. I know. Horror upon horror."
He pulled his arm away and convulsed, falling from the pallet. Padre Ethan incanted again and Jen fell back into a sleep. The Shalane knelt beside him as he twitched uncomfortably.
"What is he talking about?"
the Shalane demanded, noticing Ethan's troubled look.
"He is coming to grips with Mikik's training. I underestimated the effect it would have upon him. I will try to calm him."
The Shalane watched Jen's face, his eyes convulsing behind his eyelids.
"Mikik's training?"
"Mikik taught Jen many things that the Milim Eri hid from him. Of a necessity, we had to reveal them to him."
"So you admit, then, that Jen was not complicit with Mikik when he attempted to kill Shatan in Elder Lurimora?"
Ethan shrugged. "Perhaps not consciously. But we've no time to be pedantic about this. One moment and I will wake him again." When Jen opened his eyes again, he lay perfectly still, eyes open, face bewildered, ashen and lost, like a drowned man staring up out of the water. The Shalane stroked his face, gently trying to comfort him, but his terror and stupor diverted his attention inward, and several minutes passed before his eyes finally found hers, now filled with sadness and concern.
"Jen, do you want me to do this, Shalane?" he groaned. "Do you want me to help you bring Shatan back to this world, to be its king and your husband?"
She couldn't tell the truth, and she didn't have the heart to say yes, so she chose something in between.
"It must be done, for the sake of the prophecy. You must swear to it. The lives of us all are at stake."
"Then I will do it for your sake. I swear."
Before she could utter another word, Ethan incanted and Jen fell back into slumber. She grabbed his hand fiercely and pressed it to her cheek as the tears ran unseen down her veiled face. Frustration and self-loathing smothered her, and she fought to breathe.
"Well done, Your Highness," Ethan complimented her smoothly. "We will begin immediately. I will keep him asleep during the bleeding, and when it comes time, I will of necessity need to allow Jen his full faculties. When he performs the ceremony, no one is to be in the room with him save Shatan. Wait here a moment while we clear a section of the lower prison. Guards, take Jen below. I will retrieve the Shalane personally in a few minutes."
Two burly elderfair grabbed Jen under the armpits and dragged him indecorously from the room. The Shalane sat on the pallet where Jen had lain and put her head in her hands. Jen had no future now, and for all her thinking, she could find no scheme or leverage to employ to win his freedom or even his life. Ethan held complete control, and with her mother imprisoned and herself restricted to her room, there was no influence she could bring to bear to manipulate the inevitable path before her. She prayed to her God and hoped he would find some way to see Jen through whatever Ethan held in store. The Padre did not tarry for long, opening the chamber door and signalling for her to follow. She smoothed her dress as she crossed through the open door and down a grey spiralling stairway discoloured black and green by moisture and mould. The scent of mildew and uncleanness spun her head, the enclosed space upsetting her frayed nerves. Rats screeched as soldiers ahead of her kicked them down the stairs or crushed them outright. After several turns, the stairs terminated on a small landing. Directly in front of them was a heavy wooden door with a set of small bars affixed in a square at head height. To their left, another stairway, even narrower than the one they had just descended, dropped off into the dark, moans and sobs ascending from it, as if the prison below were the belly of some beast slowly digesting its victims.
"This place is not humane,"
the Shalane exclaimed as a whimper of terror greeted them from below.
"Please tell me you do not have my mother in this place."
"Open the door,"
Athan commanded the Elderfair, ignoring the Shalane's question. The door shrieked open and Athan followed her inside. From appearances, the room was used for storage. Barrels and sacks had been shoved to the side to make room for a massive cauldron. A single lantern atop a pile of grain sacks glowed dimly, and the Shalane felt like a thief meeting someone surreptitiously in some dark place to divide ill-gotten spoils. Jen lay in a heap on the floor guarded by two Elderfair.
"Take three of the barrels and place them in a line next to the cauldron," Athan commanded. "Lay Jen on them and hang his arm over the cauldron."
This was done quickly. Two other Padres joined Athan as he removed a thin-bladed knife from his robes. The Shalane swallowed hard.
"Come near him, Shalane. Whatever the cost, do not let him die. Do you understand?"
She nodded her head in acknowledgement, but felt fearful. Usually she could tell when someone neared death by touching them, but touching Jen would heal him prematurely. She had to rely on sight and sound, and she feared her own inexperience might kill him. Before she could think about it, Athan slashed Jen's wrist, blood spurting into the cauldron. Thanks to Athan's magic, Jen did not twitch or cry out, though she knew even awake he would have shown no reaction. As for herself, her stomach lurched, and it felt as if her knees might buckle at any moment. Walking carefully forward, she put her face close to his so she could see it more clearly and watch the rise and fall of his chest. Time crawled by haltingly on broken legs, discomfort and disgust apparent on every face. Slowly, Jen's face paled, his breathing slowed, and the blood pulsed more and more weakly from his wrist. As his breath grew ragged, she healed him, health and colour returning a warmth to his marble white features.
"Six more," Athan announced gravely, slashing Jen again.
The Shalane closed her eyes and groaned inwardly as the blood ran into the cauldron, the drips echoing uncomfortably in the small room. By the time they finished the fourth bleeding, the Shalane's head throbbed from the intense concentration.
"I need rest before I can continue," she complained. "I need fresh air and some refreshment."
Athan measured her up for a moment and then acquiesced.
"Take her to her quarters for half an hour. I will stay with the blood."
Emerging from the dismal pit of the dungeon and into the comparatively well-lit confines of her room eased the constriction squeezing her chest and mellowed the headache. She threw herself down on her bed and exhaled to expel the tension. She did not want to brood any more on the impossibility of freeing Jen, and she quashed the tears threatening to well in her eyes. Flutterings in her belly, growing stronger by the day, distracted her, and she was reminded that within the confines of her womb grew the object worthy of sacrifice. She had hoped that if any sacrifice were needed, it would be her own life and not those whom she counted so dear. A timid knock at the door brought her to her elbows.
"Come in."
A waif of a girl no older than 12 entered, carrying a plate of dried apples and cheese in one hand and in the other a goblet of wine. The door shut behind her and the Shalane waved her over, signalling for the girl to place the tray on the small table near the bed.
"What is your name?"
"Rena,"
she answered with a curtsy, voice nasal and high.
"Thank you, Rena."
"You are welcome, Lady Cairn,"
she replied, and the Shalane paused. "Am I still Lady Cairn?" She rarely saw anyone, and everyone she did see called her Shalane, even Athan. It was as if even those committed to the idea of her marriage could not, deep down, think of her as Shatan's wife. And yet this very day she was taking part in a scheme that risked the life of the man whose name she would wear proudly for the sake of one whose name had already worn off.
"Are you well, milady?"
Yes, yes, the Shalane answered, emerging from her stupor. I am sorry. Thank you again for the food. I will be finished and gone in half an hour. You can return for everything then.
The Shalane wanted to remove her veil to eat, but her young servant stood fidgeting nervously.
Are you sure there is nothing else you require?
Rena inquired, voice desperate.
I do not.
Then the Shalane saw it. The servant's veil pitched slightly to the left. Rena had a message.
Now that you mention it, I wonder if you might brush my hair. It is a bit tangled, and I find it soothing.
Rena relaxed.
I would be happy to, Lady Cairn.
Please call me Shalane.
As you wish,
Rena said, pleased. The Shalane removed her veil and chewed on a leathery apple slice while she waited for Rena to stop gawking. Once Rena began, the Shalane focused, waiting for the girl to begin the conversation that would contain the indirect message.
Do you and your mother look much alike?
She asked. So the message is from my mother. I believe so, though I have always thought she had an elegance that I do not.
The girl said,
I am sure she is thinking about you wherever she is. She did arrive with you, did she not? Along with several of your guards.
Yes, though I have not seen her or them since. I wish I could see them.
I imagine so.
I fear for their health and safety, the Shalane said. I think the Padres locked them up in the miserable dungeon they have in the bottom of this place.
Well, if they did, then they all probably sit around and wonder if you're being treated well, since they wouldn't get any news of you down there.
Does that mean they are all in the same place?
The Shalane wondered. If true, it would be good news.
I think they know that I have to be well taken care of. I am carrying Eldaloth within me, after all.
Of course,
Rena agreed. The Shalane ate quickly as Rena remained silent. Was that the extent of the message? Was there no more? Rena alleviated her worry and spoke again.
I do not wish to offend you, Shalane, but I have heard so many stories about the man Jen. Are they true?
I would have to know what stories you refer to.
Rena swallowed. The Shalane could sense the confusion and difficulty in her voice.
Is it true he came here looking for you?
Yes.
Were you frightened? He is the Ilk.
I would never be frightened of Jen. He is not the Ilk. He is my loyal servant, and I care for him deeply. He would no more harm me than he would harm you or any other innocent creature. He has saved me so many times and in so many ways, I could never repay the debt.
Rena breathed more easily, though the Shalane could not tell if her next question was part of the message or part of her curiosity.
Well, I heard that your mother is very fond of him and worries about him continually.
That is true. She loves him as much as I do.
I apologize for asking such sensitive questions. It is not my business.
No need to apologize.
More silence ensued. Rena continued working at the Shalane's hair, using the pause in the conversation as a transition.
Did you know that Ironkeep has many portals within it?
Rena asked a couple of minutes later.
I had heard that. They are all over. There are some that haven't even been discovered. I've never been through a portal. Is it really as sickening as they say?
The first few times, yes,
the Shalane explained, wondering where this was going.
Though you get used to it.
There are many portal mages here. There was one that Shadan Cairn, well, Shatan's father, kept around that wasn't part of the guild. He was funny. I didn't see him much after the Shadan invaded Tolnor. I wonder what became of him.
The Shalane began to understand.
Using a portal mage that is not part of the guild would bring the wrath of the guild down upon the Shadan. Surely he didn't want it known.
Probably not,
Rena agreed.
Torbran probably had him killed when the war was over, or maybe he locked him up in that miserable dungeon. At least he would be in good company in the dungeon if your mother and your guards are there.
The Shalane's heart leapt within her. She knew exactly where this was going now and laughed casually.
I would agree with that and envy him for it.
Rena stopped combing. The message was over.
I have forgotten to take the chamber pot from the Padre's quarters. Forgive me, Shalane, but I must go.
I release you. Thank you for your conversation. It has calmed my mind considerably.
You are most welcome. Fare thee well, my lady.
Time passed too quickly as the Shalane thought and schemed, wondering what use she could make of the message implied in Rena's conversation. Jen's safety depended on somehow manoeuvring him near the others in the prison, and while she hoped that Padre Aethon would imprison him in the dungeon, she doubted they would send him so far out of their control or so near his allies. At worst, she suspected that Padre Aethon would betray her and kill Jen once Shertan lived. The Padre's most likely scenario, as she figured it, was to send Jen away to Muir Eldaloth, as they had originally planned, and she could see no way to prevent it. Even worse, Shertan might seek Jen's life out of revenge, whatever her protector's part in his return to life. She racked her brain as she returned to the dark chamber in the dungeon, but she could come to no conclusions. Blood pumping from Jen's arm and the task of keeping him alive ended her vain machinations, and once again she found herself relying on faith. The last three bleedings passed quickly compared to the first four. Aethon shooing everyone from the room and back out into the hallway once the last bleeding ended. The Shalane gazed at Jen one last time, as the Elder Fair shut the door, turning to find all the Padres lined up on the stairs.
"Only Padres will remain here. Everyone else, go up," Aethon ordered.
The Shalane walked toward the stairs when a thought came to her.
"May I descend to visit my mother and her companions? I should be nearby if Shertan awakens."
Aethon, conversing in hushed tones with his fellow churchmen, stopped abruptly and turned in her direction.
"No, you will wait here in the event I need you to remind Jen of his oath. Guard, bring Shertan."
Aethon turned away again, and after issuing commands, the rest of the Padres filed into the small landing, pushing her partway down the stairs to the dungeon. In a few minutes, a group of Elderfair struggled to bring Shertan's corpse, covered in a white shroud, down the winding steps. Abir simply couldn't squeeze around the corners, so they transported the body unceremoniously with hands on ankles and under armpits.
"Place him directly into the vat of blood," Aethon instructed, removing a folded document from his robe. "Leave this document by Jen."
The Shalane wondered what Aethon had written, but she found all thoughts driven from her mind as the men entered and, after a great slosh, returned again, locking the door behind them with a rusted set of keys.
"Create the wards," Aethon commanded, "and then stand away. Make sure you are not visible to Jen through the bars of the door."
The hair on the Shalane's arms stood up as magical energy filled the room, the Padres incanting. Once done, Aethon and half of the Padres pushed her farther down the steps as the other half ascended to get out of sight of the door. Aethon exhaled and concentrated.
"Pray this works, Shalane," he whispered. "Everything depends upon him."
The Shalane wondered which of the two men in the room behind the wall that Aethon meant. Jen's eyes fluttered open. He sat up quickly, intending to assess his environment, but a power in the room burned like a bonfire in the dark, drawing his attention immediately. Next to him sat a vat of his own blood, energy emanating from it and suffusing him with strength. He reached out a hand to touch the black iron of the pot, a nearly drunk feeling overcoming him. With the vat's contents, he could raise Ironkeep, turning its walls into dust for the wind to carry off. His head swam with the new training now open to him, and in horror he knew he could just as easily use the virtue of the blood to create weapons of such power they could annihilate the very soul of a living creature, as Mikik sought to do to Eldaloth. Only when he stood did he notice the note as it fell from his lap onto the floor. He stooped to retrieve and open it, finding Aethon's practiced, practical script.
"Jen, we have placed Shertan in the vat and into the blood. Remember your vow to the Shalane to use your power to raise him. Remember that he is key to the unfolding of prophecy, whatever your personal feelings. I pledge that I will see that the Shalane is treated with honor and respect at all times when Shertan returns, and that I will not harm those you care for. I've done what I have done for the sake of the world. The Shalane understands that this must be done. Honor your promise to her. You should open a portal to Erelinda, for it is there that Eldaloth's servant surely resides. If, however, you hurt Shertan in any way, there will be retribution against those you care for. While this is perhaps beneath me, it is the only reason that you listen to. When you are finished, have Shertan call for us, and we will come for him. Padre Aethon."
Jen refolded the note and set it next to the lantern, peering into the oversized cauldron. Shatan's corpse lay on its side, half covered in the blood. Jen stepped back, repulsed and uncertain. He could feel the Shalane just beneath and behind him, and remembered agreeing to perform the spell to return her husband to life, but something had clouded his mind then. With his judgment now unencumbered by potion or magic, his heart struggled. Surely the Shalane has been and would be happier without him. With the knowledge available to Jen now, he had no doubt he could leave Shertan dead and take her back to Rugoth. But as the thought ran through his mind, so did his mistake in Elder Lurimora. He had tried to kill Shertan out of pride and vengeance. He had ignored the Shalane's wishes and orders and turned his life to ruin. If she believed that reviving Shertan was the right course, then he felt he should honor his commitment to her and perform the ritual as she asked. He no longer trusted his own feelings and reasoning. Jen closed his eyes and enveloped himself in the essence radiating from his collected blood, pulling it within him. In the training the Milim Eri had concealed from him, he found the knowledge to create a portal into the Abyss and to Erelinda, though Mikik would never attempt the latter. Shatan's body would act as a lodestone to the spirit, and once connected, he would use blood magic to reforge the link between body and soul to bind them again. It was the ultimate power of blood. While Ethan assumed that Shatan rested peacefully in the light of Erelinda, Jen thought this wishful thinking, concentrating instead on the location Shatan's actions merited. In a thought, he accomplished it, the portal into a palpable blackness coalescing just above the cauldron. A dread chill filled the room, reminding him of the hole from which had risen the demon at the betrothal. As soon as the gateway solidified, a horrifying, discordant chorus of suffering filled the room at a suffocating volume. Opening his eyes, Jen watched as the vision in the portal swirled and spun about a wasted, benighted landscape. Sooty smoke and orange sparks obscured the denizens of that world. In the obscurity walked the dead, but not alone. Billowing, shifting shadows with red eyes stalked the pale, ghostly bodies of dead spirits they tormented. Without warning, their ethereal vapors would encase their victims, red eyes replacing the sufferers in their sockets while the smoky shape coalesced around them. Howls of pain and fright ripped from raw throats, the dark beings swelling in size until the sufferer was released to collapse upon a floor of sharp volcanic rock. Red eyes would return into the swirling form of a shadow as it hunted another prey, leaving the sufferer's eyes all the more sunken and hollow. Jen shuddered, wondering how much of that world he would be forced to witness, but at last the portal settled on Shatan, weak and crawling on the floor, a nightmare apparition hovering above him, waiting. As the portal settled, the red eyes turned upward and regarded Jen.
"What are your sins?" it rasped.
A tendril of dark mist passed through the portal toward Jen's face, but before it touched him, it withdrew. It said,
"Rejoice, for you shall never know the torture of the Abyss. Weep, for you shall never know the joy of Erelinda. There is no traveller within your shell to take the journey."
Jen's heart sank. Here at last was confirmed what he had long suspected. The Ilk was no more than a construct, a thing with no soul of its own, created to live, to die, and to know no more.
"I shall feed on this one, then, for he has much to answer for,"
the creature swooped in to envelop the struggling Shatan. Jen acted, pulling power from the blood and creating the binding link between body and soul that Jaren had severed. Shatan's spirit broke through the swirling dark of the apparition's body.
"You cannot rob me," it howled. "I must feed."
Jen shuddered and shut the portal, Shatan coughing and spluttering inside the cauldron. The blood remained, and not all of its power was exhausted. Tentatively, Shatan's red-soaked head peeked above the rim of the cauldron, bright eyes wide with fear. Upon seeing Jen, he shrieked.
"I knew you would join me here. Even in the Abyss, you must torment me."
He shrank back into the vat, sloshing about and mumbling incoherently. Shuffling sounds outside reminded Jen that Ethan would cast a stupor upon him, and with a quick spell he covered the grate in the door in metal. The Padres would get him sooner or later, but he had to speak to the Shalane one last time. He could sense her just a little behind and down from where he stood. With a thought, stone evaporated into air, and he saw her, an elderfair guard nearby, ready to raise an alarm. Using the remaining power of Triss, Jen walled off the stairway from the upper landing and encased the guard in a hollow prison of rock. Darkness overtook them as the new wall blocked out the massed lamps above, but a guttering torch farther down the stairs provided enough light for him to feel his way forward and into the Shalane's fervent embrace. Tears flowed silently in the dank prison, and for a moment his hurts and his cares abated.
"Forgive me, Shalane. I've made a mess of everything. Quiet now, Jen," she consoled, burying her head in his shoulder. "It is not your fault. It never was your fault. Is he alive?"
"Shaitan, yes. I only did it because you wished it.
It was the right thing to do, but you must leave here," she begged.
"I haven't the strength to tunnel out of here with magic. It is you who should leave after all the pain they've caused."
The Shalane pulled away from him and took his head, pulling him down the stairs.
"It was all a fraud to pull you here, Jen," she explained. "I never felt any hurt and was in no danger. I was only bait. You must believe I would never have willingly submitted. They gave me no choice."
"I know. They should still pay for using you so."
"That is of no consequence now, Jen. Where are we going?" he asked. "To see my mother, I hope."
"They have her locked up down here?" Jen thundered.
"Quietly, Jen. We have to hurry. The Padres will be here any moment."
But as they rounded a corner, they found three elderfair waiting in a dingy, straw-covered anteroom with swords drawn. Of all Mikik's restored teachings, Jen still found the ease with which Triss magic could kill living creatures the most sinister. With barely a thought and hardly any power, the three soldiers crumpled to the floor, dead in an instant. Quickly, Jen gathered the key from one of the bodies and inserted it into the heavy iron door.
"Grab the lantern, Shalane."
Hinges whined and screeched as the door to the lower dungeon scraped open. The howls and pitiful pleas for food or freedom from half-naked and half-sane denizens immersed them in a scene little better than what Jen had witnessed in the abyss. Emaciated, pale limbs with knobby fingers and ridged, dirty nails clutched at them through iron bars, and the stench of their bodies and breath set the Shalane's stomach to churning.
"Mother," the Shalane called queasily. "In the back, dear child. What are you doing here? I've brought Jen. It's time. You work quickly, dearest."
They found them at the rear of the dungeon. Unlike the freestanding cells at the entrance, these were hollowed into the rock and sealed with heavy wooden doors. Merrell guided them in by yelling through the bars in the doors. Jen made quick work with the key, familiar faces spilling out of dark holes and into the warmth of the lantern light. Dacen knelt before the Shalane, kissing her hand, a litany of warm sentiments gushing from a full heart. Merrell fairly leapt into Jen's arms, smiles popping up on worn faces at the spectacle.
"Thank you, Eldaloth," she whispered as they embraced, "for bringing him back to me."
Wiping her eyes, she disentangled herself from Jen and turned her gaze upon the portal mage.
"Udan, it's your turn. Where is this portal?"
"This way," he nodded. "Follow me."
Jen moved away from the company.
"I'll bar the door and grab the Elderfair's swords. I'll catch up with you."
"I'll help,"
Tolbrook offered, following. After relocking the door and piling as much as they could in front of it, Jen and Tolbrook undid the sword belts and ran back to the company that stood in front of an empty cell. Udan turned.
"It is in here. One moment."
"Do you know where the portal goes, Udan?" Merrell inquired.
"No. This portal was never discovered. We'll want to send someone through for a look."
"I will do it,"
Jen volunteered from the back.
"I'll be going through whatever the place may be like."
Udan nodded in acknowledgement and concentrated, a brilliant blue light blazing in the darkness. The illumination's significance was not lost on the other prisoners, renewed pleas for freedom clamouring for their consideration. Jen wasted no time, crossing into the portal and returning, face grim.
"I'm afraid it isn't pleasant," he reported. "It is a desert of black sand and vapours of smoke. I saw few plants and no water. I must take the chance. The rest can choose."
"I go with Jen,"
Merrell announced firmly.
"As do I,"
Gerund and Volney followed.
"I go where Merrell goes,"
Cadern added.
"I will go with Merrell," Mina said meekly. "Are you staying behind, Shalane?"
Merrell asked.
"I must, for the prophecy's sake."
"No,"
Dacen said. You should flee. Anywhere is better than this place.
Not for me, Dacen. They have treated me well, and I need to be with Shatan. I must stay.
Then I stay as well, Dacen said, throwing Jen a challenging look. I will not leave you. Captain Tolbrook and the rest of the Dark Guard echoed the same sentiment. Morel crossed to her daughter and embraced her.
It is settled, then. May Eldoloth see us together again in brighter places and happier times.
The Shalane crossed to Jen and let him enfold her in his arms. She kissed his cheek and whispered,
I love you more than you can know. Take care of yourself and my mother.
I will.
Shouting and clanging at the prison door reminded them to hurry, and the Shalane smiled as the people she had fretted over for so long disappeared from the dungeon. Uran crossed through his own portal, and the blue light winked out. When the Shalane emerged from the dungeon, she would again find herself the wife of a wretch, but no longer would she worry for those she loved best. Eldoloth had heard her prayer and provided an escape, and she found this merciful gift had propped up her flagging faith. Surrounded by the Dark Guard, she walked calmly back to the prison door, arriving just as Aethon stormed through, soldiers and padres streaming in behind.
Where is he?
He thundered, eyes darting everywhere. To spare his feelings, the Shalane stripped her voice of as much joy as she could, before answering.
Gone.